Frankie Corrado is a defenseman for the Belleville Senators, former Toronto Maple Leaf, and a, I guess, a pal of Mike Zygmantas. Is this true, Frank? Are you and Ziggy tight? You friends? Do you tolerate this man?
We're getting there. Yeah, we've spent some time together the last couple seasons, so it's been good to get to know Ziggy.
Yeah, you got to tell them how good of a coach I am at UFT, all those D drills I'm putting you guys through.
Yeah, Ziggy's put me through D drills. I don't think he ever crossed the blue line coming back into his own zone. No, I'm just kidding. It's obviously I got the chance. Well, I was rehabbing a couple injuries over the last couple of years, and UFT was nice enough to have me out to skate with them and practice with them rehabbing. And, just got to meet Ziggy and the coaching staff there, Medzi and Doves, and just a great group of guys, from them on through the players. And I think you saw the success they had this season, and I think it had all to do with, the great group they've built there and the communication and the camaraderie that they've built.
The guys are really lucky. They got a guy like, Frankie coming down and skate, and they get to see a pro and kind of how he prepares and how he practices. And it helps the team a lot. It helped our defense a lot just to kind of see what NHLers do to get ready. And I think a lot of guys, Frankie, when you come out, and there have been a number of former NHLers that have skated with the team, but it really helps guys and shows them kind of what it takes. Because we had Marty McSorley on the show last week, and I had him with the Kingston Frontenacs, and just giving guys an insight of, what guys do to prepare and how they practice really helps guys.
Yeah, it makes a difference. I mean, I remember during the lockout season, we had Nick Foligno and Derek McKenzie up in Sudbury skating with us, and you always wanted to go against them in drills, and you kind of saw the way they took, all the drills very seriously. And, just the pace that they competed with in practice was different than at the junior level at the time. And, I think it's good. It's good for guys to see that. And you learn a thing or two out there, and it's like, it's like if you're a rookie starting out and there's some older players on the team, you kind of watch them and see what they're doing. So, it was good. It was really fun. It obviously was good for me to be practicing with you guys and help me get back into some game shape.
With Frankie Corrado of the Belleville Senators, former Maple Leafs defenseman on leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So I'm fascinated by this, Frank. You're living this like the rest of us. How are you staying in shape? Are you working out at any kind of level that you'd like to be able to, given that I'd imagine you can't see your trainer, you can't skate with a bunch of guys, you can't do the things you ordinarily would do off season, in season, to stay in shape?
Yeah, so obviously I don't have the luxury of having a big home gym that some of the guys you see on Instagram and Twitter have. So I live in a condo, downtown Toronto. So to be honest with you, to take a little bit of time off at this time of year is not the worst thing, because your body goes through a lot during the season, and there's a lot of bumps and bruises. And then me personally, I haven't had time to take off in the last three seasons because I've, had a major injury that led to rehab, that led to training, that, then I got back into playing. So I haven't been able to take 2 or 3 weeks off at the end of a season, for a long time. So as far as working out right now, I'm taking it as a little bit of rest, and I'll do a little bit of muscle activation, some foam roll, just something to keep the blood flowing. But I think as things kind of get going here and as things progress, I'll get back into it a little bit more. But I think every player is different, and for me personally, this is a good time to kind of reset and recharge the batteries a little bit, something I haven't been able to do recently.
A lot of the listeners definitely want to know a little bit about your time with the Leafs and what went over that 10-week stretch. And, I get asked a lot too, what's it like sitting out for a month at a time? Because I think I sat out 10-game stretch, which felt like three seasons one year in Phoenix. What What can you tell us about your time in Toronto, you know, playing here and, you know, coming over from Vancouver and then, you know, not really playing your first couple months?
Yeah. 10 games, that feels like nothing for me. it went from getting waived in Vancouver was, that was not a great feeling. And when you find out you're getting picked up by Toronto, I mean, that was like the most elated I've ever been. Like it was crazy. And getting to meet all the guys, like getting to meet Dion and all the players here, guys that I've watched and, even played against. It was surreal. It went from like the lowest of lows to the highest of highs. And, I really wanted it to work. Obviously it was almost like failure to launch for me. And even, you know, the year that we finished last place, I was playing some good games, I was playing some not great games, and I think the inconsistency is not great, but I think that's still part of, you know, bumps in the road, learning the league a little bit as a defenseman. And then that summer I really was, you know, focused on having, you know, a great summer, putting on some weight and having a great training camp, because I was well aware that, you know, there's probably not a spot waiting for me. I'm probably going to have to earn it. And I thought I did everything I could that summer. And then that next training camp, I thought I had a good camp and scored a goal in the first game, had a few assists the next game, and tried to compete as hard as I could. And, I ended up sticking around and kind of made the team from there. But, you know, obviously when you carry eight defensemen, you know, it's hard to get in the lineup, if you're waiting for injuries, and not that you ever, you know, want guys to get hurt or anything like that, but that's kind of the only way you're getting in at that point with 8D. And, it was weird. It's weird to sit out because you don't feel like you're really a part of anything. You're there for fist bumps after the game and you morning skate, you do your bag skate and whatever it is. And, you go on with your day and go to the rink at 7 o'clock and watch the game. It's weird. You don't really, you're missing that connection almost, with the guys that are out there battling every night. And, that's something you want as a player. You want to be in the heart of it with everyone. And I think that's how you build, you know, your best relationships, even with your teammates.
The social media, I guess, and even former players started to get involved in the Free Corrado kind of campaign. Did that, like, for me, I've had something, I didn't have it as big of a situation as you did, but I had something similar where it was almost like when you're getting that media attention and social media attention that it can make it worse where, I mean, if you're a coach and you have all this media attention and social media, I guess, pressure, you almost don't want to put the guy in because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to have a gun to your head and then put a guy in that you maybe you don't want in the lineup. Did you feel any of that kind of outside pressure make the situation worse for you?
It definitely magnified things. I think there was one game, I finally got in a game in February against the Rangers, and it was like, wow, he's playing, you know? And it was like, there's just way too much attention on an eighth defenseman going into the lineup, in my opinion. You know, it just should be another roster move that, you know, kind of gets swept under the rug. But I mean, we're in Toronto and there's obviously a lot of media presence, and it's a story that kind of was played out for such a long period of time that it's like, hey, like here's the stage, and oh, by the way, everyone's watching everything you do tonight. You know, so
yeah.
It's tough. What do you do? Like that's the market, and that's, you know, that's the world you live in as a player for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that, you know, you kind of sign up for that. But it the whole, you know, campaign or whatever you want to call it, I mean, that's not the, ideally, that's not the way you want to be remembered as a player in the city. You'd like to be remembered for, playing and doing some good things on the ice. But, that's like I said, that's something that's just, it's out of your control. And, I just tried to do my best to control the things that I could at the time.
With Frankie Corrado. So you're 27 now, Frank, I mean, you were 23, 24 as you were going through this, still a very young player in the NHL with most of your future ahead of you, and to not be out there, to not play, that can stunt development, that can affect your career, and it must have weighed on you mentally. So when you look back on those days, I understand it. I'm kind of throwing these out there because I don't want these to be your responses. We understand this is a business, and you were making the NHL minimum, which is a lot more money than most people make, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we're privileged in that way, or you're privileged in that way. I understand it, but it had to take its toll on you mentally. You'd worked so hard to get to that point, and now you're at that point, and you're not even getting a chance to play. Do you look back with any kind of resentment or bitterness, or are you just kind of like, hey, it's how it played out, and I got to make the most of the opportunity I got now?
Yeah, I think I'm probably more prepared for that kind of situation at this age, at 27, than I was at 22, 23. I think at that age, you're just not mentally equipped to go through something like that, to go from, pushing hard to get to the NHL and playing hard and at the AHL level. And then you get there and all of a sudden it's just, you stop, you know. Like, I think if I were to work my way up the ranks, you know, from 22, 23 and get to the NHL at 27 now, it would just feel like such more of a sense of an accomplishment. And not that it wasn't, please don't get me wrong. It is a great accomplishment, but I think that, I'm just probably where I'm at now mentally in my life and my career, I'd be much more equipped to handling that situation. I think at 22, 23, like you touched on, you do have your whole career ahead of you and you want to be playing and you want to be progressing, because when things get stagnant or stale, teams kind of, they look around and see what else is out there and who's progressing and who's developing. And, when you kind of, I think anyways, like when you hit that wall and you're not progressing and moving forward, like, you know, teams are going to move ahead without you. And I think that was one of my fears probably in that situation, is that I wanted to keep going and keep progressing. And, obviously that's, and it's things that are out of your control. So, there is a part of you that you just have to make the best of what you got, and not saying that it was bad. Obviously being in the NHL, I have some great friendships, some unbelievable memories and all that stuff. But, there's only so much that you can control.